Welcome to the North Village Church podcast. We are an Acts 29 church serving Austin, Texas by placing Jesus at the center of our lives so that it moves us to serve every man, woman, and child to experience the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. For more information, visit northvillagechurch.com.
We're going to be in John chapter 20, starting in verse 11. And we'll jump right into it this morning. John chapter 20, verse 11 says, "But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb." So in the context of John chapter 20, Jesus has been handed over to the authorities. He's been betrayed by his closest friends. He's been put on a false trial, and the people were crying out, "Crucify him." Like a week ago, they were worshiping him, and now they're like, "Kill him," and he experiences the most painful death we can imagine. He's wrapped in linen. He's placed in a tomb, and this all happens on Friday. And so on verse 11, it's Sunday morning, and Mary is a faithful friend of Jesus. She shows up to his tomb where Jesus is buried, and she's weeping. Look at verses 12, 13. John chapter 20 says, verse 12, "And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" So in verse 12, Mary peeks into the tomb, and she sees two angels in white sitting in front of her. And then in verse 13, they speak to Mary and say, "Why are you weeping?" You need to remember that Mary has had her life radically transformed by Jesus. Mary has encountered Jesus as a prostitute. She believes that Jesus is God in the flesh, and she commits her life to following Jesus. Mary is the last one at the cross. She's the first one at the tomb on Sunday morning. And so when angels are speaking to her, she's not shocked that she's talking to angels. But instead, all she can do is think about is, where's his body? I mean, grab a pen, underline that phrase in verse 13. In your Bible or in your notes, "They have taken away my Lord." So you need to know, Mary at this point is confused. In Mary's perspective, she's thinking, the only way this body is not in this tomb is if somebody has picked up Jesus' physical body and moved it to another location. And she's just baffled. Right, if you're new to our church family this morning, we teach the Bible, right? I mean, we're going to have some fun. We'll make some jokes, but we go to God's Word. So don't let that spook you. Look at verses 14 and 15. "When she had said this, she turned around." This is Mary. "She saw Jesus standing there, and she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, if you have carried the body of Jesus away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him.'" In verse 14, the resurrected Jesus is speaking to Mary. He's right in front of Mary, and she doesn't recognize him. In verse 15, Jesus speaks to her. Says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary refers to Jesus as the gardener. Circle that word, gardener, that title, gardener, in verse 15. Mary is so confused. What is going on? She's thinking, where is his body? Look, don't misunderstand. Jesus has told Mary he's going to rise from the dead. Jesus has told Mary, "I am going to resurrect. I am going to conquer death." You can write down Mark chapter 14. That's one of the references. He says it five times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is not a new concept. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, like, was it normal to resurrect from the dead back in the day? Is that what's going on? And no, it's not normal. It wasn't normal in the Roman culture. It wasn't normal in the Jewish culture. And so Mary is confused. Even though she has seen Jesus do amazing miracles, she's been told he will conquer death. She's looking at him and speaking to him, and she doesn't get it. She's completely baffled. This is how foreign the concept of resurrecting from the dead is. This is why my wife and I take our children to a cemetery every Good Friday to have a picnic. We do a picnic at a cemetery because we figure they're pastor kids. So let's just double down on the stigma, right? And so we take our kids. We took them to Texas State Cemetery this year. It's a beautiful cemetery if you've never been. Very well manicured. We lay out our blanket, get out some roast beef sandwiches, just enjoy. It's beautiful weather, just enjoying the weather. And then I tell the kids, go find somebody who's been dead a long time. And so we found Miss Catherine Johnson. And Miss Catherine Johnson has been in the ground, I think it's like for 67 years. And so she's been there a while. Right? Rigor mortis sets in about after 4 hours. Like, she's been there a while. And so we started thinking about, can you imagine right now eating our roast beef sandwiches, like how crazy it would be if Catherine's hand shoots up from the ground, and then my 10-year-old and my 13-year-old are like, Dad, it's time to go. Like, let's go. Like, it's not funny, Dad. But that's like, that's what's taking place, except keep in mind, we're not talking about like a skeletal system shooting up from the ground with like cobwebs or like zombie attack. It's a glorious hand. Imagine if that's what you saw. You're in the cemetery and a glorious, perfect hand shoots up from the grave. You would be mind blown. That's where Mary is. Jesus is dead on Friday. Rigor mortis has set in. The flowers have wilted. People have gone home. He wasn't, you know, resuscitated. He wasn't playing possum. Like, he's dead. And then Sunday morning, speaking to Mary, and she's like, shook. What is going on? Look at verses 16, 17. Jesus said to Mary, Mary, and she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, it means teacher. In verse 17, Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. So in verse 16, Jesus says to her, Mary. Jesus calls her by name. He knows her name. He says, Mary. And in that moment, something clicks. Right? Mary hears his voice. Mary hears Jesus call her name, the name she has heard Jesus say probably countless number of times, that familiar voice, and she lets out an expression of Rabboni, teacher. In the original language, it actually means my teacher. It's incredible personal context. Circle that word teacher in verse 16. She says, my teacher, and at first reading, it could look like it's all coming together, like it's finally clicking for Mary. But then look at verse 17. Jesus says to her, Mary, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Isn't that an odd response from Jesus? It could sound harsh, couldn't it? I mean, she's got to be so excited, it's clicking for her. And he says, stop clinging to me. You need to know, in verse 17, Jesus is introducing a new relationship to Mary, to the world. Jesus is introducing a new relationship. Write that in your notes or even in your Bible, out to verse 17. New relationship. In verse 17, Jesus isn't concerned about Mary touching him physically. Don't get distracted by that. That's not a big deal. I mean, he says to Thomas, touch my wounds. That's not a big deal. He eats with the disciples. The resurrected Jesus eats fish with the disciples, physical contact is not the focus. It's as though Jesus is saying to Mary, Mary, you don't have to cling to me anymore. Because Mary's got to be thinking, I don't want to ever lose you again. It was horrible. You were in the tomb for 3 days. Wraps her arms around him. He says, Mary, you don't have to worry about that. When Jesus conquers death, he changes everything. Like when Jesus conquers death, he transcends humanity. Like in that moment, Jesus is saying to Mary, I'm no longer limited by a physical location. Mary, I'm no longer limited by a point in history. Mary, you don't have to cling to me. Like, I am available. Like, this morning, you need to know, like, if you want to be close to Jesus, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. If you want to be close to Jesus, you don't have to wish you were born at a certain point in history. You don't have to go through a certain class. You don't have to have a certain morality. If you want to be close to Jesus, you just have to call out his name. Jesus has conquered death. Jesus is available to anyone and everyone who calls upon his name. Praise God. That is glorious news. And listen to me, that's why we're celebrating Easter. That's why we're getting dressed up on Sunday. It's not because of tradition. It's because there is new life in Jesus. It's a symbol of the new life we have in Jesus, and it is available in Jesus Christ. And even as you hear that truth this morning, with your words, you might say, that's right. And with your heart, you might say, that's true. But you need to know Jesus is far more glorious than any of us could imagine. Even if you're sitting there this morning, you're like, no, Pastor. No, Jesus is glorious. And I'm just telling you, he's more glorious. For me too. Like, I've been walking with Jesus for 25 years, studying the scriptures, and I'm just like, just scratching the surface to the glorious, glorious Jesus that's been made known in scripture. Right? It's just true. For no matter who you are, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, he's more glorious than you can imagine. And I think there's just two titles in this passage that kind of help us to kind of grasp that. And I just want us to kind of touch on that real quickly. If you remember in verse 15, Mary refers to Jesus as the gardener. The gardener is somebody who takes care of the cemetery. The gardener is impersonal. The gardener is just a stranger to Mary, and yet she refers to Jesus as the gardener. And I think it's possible that there's some of us here this morning that Jesus is just, he's just the gardener. Like, you've heard his name. Maybe you studied about him in history, or you've seen characterizations on South Park or Saturday Night Live. And so the name of Jesus isn't new information, but it's not personal. His name isn't glorious. He's just the gardener. Right? Maybe you're just here because you're just being nice for your friends or your family. I think it's possible there's some of us that for Jesus, he's just the gardener to us. But then notice that second title. In verse 16, Mary refers to Jesus as her teacher, which is good. My teacher. It's even better than gardener. It's more personal than gardener, isn't it? It implies relationship. It implies context. But did you notice from the passage that even though Jesus became personal to Mary, he was far more glorious. He is far more glorious than Mary could ever imagine. In the same way, I think there's many of us here this morning, including myself, that you know Jesus personally. You profess the name of Jesus. There is relationship but he's more glorious than you can imagine. Therefore, this morning, I think the best response for all of us is to admit, for all of us to admit that we're limited in our understanding of Jesus, and that we would turn to Jesus and that we would ask for his help to see more of his glory. That we would admit that we're limited in our understanding of Jesus and we would turn to Jesus and ask for his help. Biblically, that's called repentance. You're admitting that he might be more glorious than you could ever imagine, and you're turning to Jesus and you're asking for his help. I want to press in on that a little bit because I think there might be even some of us in here that are like, I get it. It's Easter. This is a good question. It's a good question for Easter, but not for me because I already know Jesus. I already believe in Jesus. And I just want to press on that even more. Mary believed in Jesus. He was still more glorious. Like when I was 16 years old, I went to go get my license at the DMV, stuck my face in the little glasses to see the eye chart. And they're like, fail. You did not pass the eye chart. You got to go get glasses. So I went, got my glasses, came back, passed the eye chart. But I didn't want to wear my glasses because it wasn't cool to wear glasses. And so for the first year as a 16-year-old, I didn't wear my eyeglasses until I saw myself getting in 6 car accidents that first year. And then I believed I need to wear my eyeglasses. That's what I want to press in on this morning. You might profess belief in Jesus, but is he far more glorious than you could have ever imagined? Just with all sincerity and all humility, and that you would ask yourself, is the glory of Jesus changing how I live my life? Right? The eye chart told me I needed eyeglasses, but I didn't believe until I had the accidents, and it changed how I lived my life. Is the glory of Jesus changing how you live your life? Biblically, that's called obedience. And if Jesus isn't glorious, then obedience is oppressive. Right? It's like a grudge. If Jesus is just kind of like a gardener or a really good teacher, then obedience to Jesus is like, oh. But if Jesus is glorious, if he's wise and good and powerful and personal beyond what you could ever imagine, then obedience is thank you. Right? Is his glory changing how you live your life? Or is he just a gardener? Is he just a teacher? What if this Easter, all of us in this room, every one of us, every man, woman, and child in this room took one step closer to understanding more of his glory? Like, what if that was the mark that Easter 2018 left on our souls? I just put the question on the screen for us this morning. And just bring us to a close with all of us reflecting on this question. I'm going to ask for the lights to be turned down. And that all of us would just reflect on that question on the screen from a personal perspective. Jesus, will you help me see more of your glory than I could ever imagine? I'm going to pray for us. And I want to ask you just to close your eyes. I just want you to bow your head. I get it. We're in a cafeteria this morning, but in light of what we've seen in Scripture, that each of us with sincerity, Jesus, will you help me to see more of your glory than I could imagine? That we would admit and that we would turn. I'm going to give you a few seconds to reflect on that question, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Father in heaven, what if Easter 2018 could be a day that every man, woman, and child in this room takes a step towards seeing more of the glory that is made known in Jesus Christ? I know life is confusing. I know life is difficult. I know life is hard. But what if every man, woman, and child in this room would genuinely look at their life standing before you and ask, Jesus, will you help me see more of your glory? Now I want to ask you to keep your head bowed, keep your eyes closed. We don't usually do this on a Sunday morning, but to help all of us take a step, no matter where we are in that spiritual journey between us and the God of Scripture, but to help us grow in that relationship, I want to ask us, if you genuinely are asking that question this morning, I want to ask if you could just put your hand up in the air. With every eye closed and with every head bowed, if that's the sincerity of your heart, if you want to see more of Jesus' glory in your life, will you just put your hand up in the air? It isn't for me, but completely for you to strengthen your faith this morning by holding it high. And now if your hand is up in the air, I'm not even looking. If your hand is up in the air, I want you to ask yourself this question to yourself. What needs to change in your life to help you see more of His glory? Right? What's going to help you see the big E on the eye chart and to be convinced that you are in need of His glory in your life? Is it your job? Is it your thoughts? Is it your circle of friends? But in response to seeing His glory, that it's more magnanimous than you could ever imagine, that you would ask, what needs to change? I could tell you one of the most clear things that needs to happen in every one of our lives this morning is that we need to be connected to a local church. That's the big E on the eye chart. It's like, am I connected to a local church? Am I trying to do this relationship with God on my own? And so just between you and Jesus right now, like asking yourself, am I vitally connected? What's hindering me from being vitally connected to be a part of a church family? It doesn't have to be North Village Church. We'd love to have you. It doesn't have to be. But if it's not, then asking Jesus to help you. Come ask us. We will help you find that church family. But that each of us this morning would be hearing, not from me, but from God, of the singular thing that is getting way of every one of us seeing more of His glory. Now, if you raise your head, open your eyes, we're going to celebrate baptism this morning as a church family. And baptism is a simple way to publicly profess the relationship we have with the God of Scripture through faith in Jesus. I want to be really clear. Baptism doesn't begin our relationship with God. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. But we want to invite you to celebrate baptism. If you've never been baptized, if you've never allowed your body to be lowered into the water like Jesus was lowered into the earth and come up in newness of life to celebrate this life you have in Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to do that this morning. I'm going to be at the back. We're still going to sing. There's going to be some announcements. So we got plenty of time to ask questions, talk about what that might look like. Myself, Miss Erica Menchaca will be in the back corner. And if you want to talk about what it means to be baptized, even explore that, please, during the music, come talk to us and celebrate the outward expression of the inward work that Jesus has already done. Will you do that this morning? Will you bow your heads with me? I'm going to close this in prayer. Father in heaven, We thank you so much for a country where we get to pause our calendar to celebrate the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And we pray that every man, woman, and child in this room might know the person of Jesus and the power of his resurrection. That you would help us to be in awe of his glory. That you would help the scriptures to come alive, that our relationships to be deepened to obedience to Jesus to be a good thing. And to see what's hindering, help us to see what's hindering us from seeing his glory. And that we would not go another day allowing those things to get in the way of the life that we've been given in Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here thinking about getting baptized, even just wondering, should I be baptized? That you would help them to come talk to me and Miss Erica. And maybe today is the day that the outward work of their faith is celebrated, not just privately, but publicly. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name.